I truly believe that children are a blessing from God in all circumstances, in every single circumstance, that God sparks life in the womb. It's a miracle. And unfortunately, we live in a culture that doesn't believe that this is the case. And I'm not just talking about the millions of abortions that take place, but oftentimes children are now seen more as a burden than they are something that is a gift from God. Rather than being, something that is good in your life or a resource, rather, children are seen as a liability, much rather. And a lot of companies or businesses see children in the same way. And have you noticed that people have begun to have fewer and fewer children in our culture just within the past 50 years? So let's just do an exercise. How many of you have one sibling? Raise your hand. Just go ahead and keep your hand up and hold it there until your number drops. All right, two siblings, three siblings, four siblings, five siblings, six siblings, seven siblings. There it's hands up. Eight siblings, nine siblings, 10 siblings, 11 siblings. Dave, how many siblings do you have?
Well, in my family, there's 13.
13 siblings. How many of you, Dorothy, you've got your hand up. How many do you have? 14? 15? More? 13. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Now, have you seen that in families, young families today? When's the last time you saw a young family with 14 children? You just don't see it that often. You see maybe five, and people still look at you funny and go, are they all yours, right? And what I want to get at this morning is, if we understand God's plan for children and God's wonderful plan, then we would welcome them. And we would welcome them in as much as we could have. And I want to look at, particularly, we're going to look at Psalm 127 later on. Go ahead and open up your Bibles there, and go ahead and put your marker there, because we're going to come back to that. But there's a link up here on the screen, and I do this every time I come back from lectures. I like coming back and delivering a lecture to you that I had heard when I was there at Florida College, so you can know what I learned and what I grew from. And today's lesson is basically, I took great notes, it's basically just hijacking everything that Jason Longstreth talked about in his lecture and sharing it with you, because it was just a wonderful lecture. Though I changed the title because I thought about keeping you all uncomfortable, because his title of the lesson was The Spiritual Purpose of Procreation. And great title, but we're going to go ahead and go with that children are a gift from God, or children are a blessing from God. But Jason began by looking really at today's view of children and the culture today in which we view children. And I want to share some of those thoughts with you. And to begin with, now that you've got Psalm 127 marked, I want you to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Because all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, the very first command that God gives is to have children. And this is given to Adam and Eve, and he looks at man, and in verse 28, God blessed them. Notice that. God blessed them. And how did God bless them? By the following. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill all of the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. God blessed them in that he would give them children. Be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. And yet, to that command, oftentimes when God gives a statement, man wants to come back and ask, why? Why should I do this, or why should I follow through with what you've asked me to do? And many people take this statement from the Lord and ask that question because they just don't see the value behind having children, or ignore what the Lord has to say about it. And when you look at how Satan challenged Adam and Eve in the garden, they knew they were not supposed to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and Satan had tempted them and convinced them in a way that if they did what God had asked them to do, that somehow they would be missing out on something, that their life would not be as full if they did what God had asked them to do. And oftentimes, Satan uses the same lies to convince men not to listen to God when it comes to having children. And you'll hear people say things like, children are just not worth it because, and they'll list reasons. They'll say, well, children are expensive. Now, is that true? Are children expensive? Absolutely. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, in a study this past January, showed that the average cost of raising a child just between the ages of 1 to 17 is $234,000. That's not including pregnancy and college. And if you were to include those, you can easily add on another 25% of that figure to that number. So, those 13 brothers and sisters, you're getting up close to $3 million would be the average cost in a family of 13 to raise all those children. Just a family of five, you're already dealing with over $1 million is the average of what it would take to raise five children. So is raising children expensive? Yes, it is. But that sometimes is used to say that they're not worth it. You can spend that money on, rather, yourself. We're going to come back to that attitude in just a moment. Also, there's the idea that, well, children take away from your life. And this is getting to the more selfish mentality behind why so many people don't want to have children or get rid of their children. They'll say, well, children take away from your life and what you can do. You lose your personal freedoms, you lose your time, you lose all these things. Now, is that true? Yes! You don't get to watch what you want on TV anymore because your kid's going to be watching what they want on TV. You don't get to go golfing every Saturday anymore because you need to be home with your kids and helping them and helping your wife and all these things. But instead, they'll say, well, your life will just not be what it could have been if you have children. There's a famous country song by Kenny Chesney called There Goes My Life. And the beginning of that song starts out where this high school quarterback gets his girlfriend pregnant and finds out that he's going to be a father. And the chorus goes, there goes my life. There goes my future, my hopes and dreams. Everything that he had wanted, he thought was now gone because he was going to have this child. The song goes on and ends better because he finds out that that child would actually become his life and that his future was not wrecked because of children. But this is not just an attitude. This is backed by the numbers. And I want to share with you, Eric Cohen wrote an article called Why Have Children? It was published a decade ago, back in 2006. But here are some of the staggering figures that he shares. And one of the things he offers is that the most affluent and advanced nations are not having enough children to sustain themselves at this point. That the most prominent nations, their birth rates are drastically dropping. In Europe, the average couple needs to have, and I don't know how you figure this, 2.1 children. So you need to have like an average child and then a really tall child, I guess. But 2.1 children to sustain themselves. But between 1950 and 2006, Europe's birth rate fell from 2.37 per couple to 1.38. That's 34% below the average needed to sustain themselves. In Japan, the birth rate fell to 1.32, even lower. In Russia, Spain, Italy, South Korea, and the Czech Republic, it fell between 1 to 1.3, even lower. And in the most recent study in the United States, it shows that there are only 59.6 births per 1,000 women. That's a birth rate of 1.8. Now, the United States might be growing as far as, you know, immigration or people coming into the country, but the United States is certainly not growing because people are having children anymore. In fact, the birth rate is steadily declining and going away. And you might have all sorts of questions like, why is that the case? And there could be some economic reasons behind that. Is it expensive to raise children? And is our culture more expensive? And so people have to make that decision. That could be a part of it. But I believe that there's another part to it as well. Polybius lived in the 2nd century in Greece, and he wrote this around the year 150 BC. He said, "In our own time, the whole of Greece has been subject to a low birth rate and a general decrease of the population, owing to which cities have become deserted and the land has ceased to yield fruit, although there has neither been continuous wars nor epidemics." So what's causing this low birth rate? He says, "For as men have fallen into such a state of pretentiousness, avarice, and indolence, that they did not wish to marry, or if they married, to rear children born to them, or at most, as a rule, but one or two of them, so as to leave these in affluence and bring them up to waste their substance, the evil rapidly and insensibly grew." So this was not a new issue. This happened in Greece in the 2nd century. And this writer says, you want to know why people aren't having children? It's because they're selfish. They're lazy. They don't want to do the work and put in the sacrifice behind having children, because it is a great sacrifice. They'd much rather just spend it on themselves and be selfish and be lazy. We live in a culture that is completely self-absorbed. And we've looked at that extensively in the past month, in the past few months, at the culture that is driven by feelings and emotion and self, and what I want and what I need is the most important thing. And yet, this selfish culture not only leads to childishness, but it's also led to childlessness. Because when people are only concerned with themselves, then they're not willing and they don't want to make the sacrifices behind having children. Someone will become pregnant, decide they don't want to deal with the responsibility of a child, and so they'll decide to end the life of that child in their womb. How selfish can you be that you'll end the miracle of life that God gave you, this gift, because I just don't want to have to deal with that responsibility? This selfish culture we live in is driving us into a state where people are having fewer and fewer children because they simply don't want to take on the responsibility. And that's the crisis that we're in. And when you read different articles about the United States birth rate, experts and studies are showing that it is a crisis at this point. People are just not having children. People are not having babies. And what we want to do this morning is take a look at a spiritual perspective of why children are so wonderful and why children are so great. I appreciate Mick reading Psalm 127 earlier, and I invite you to turn your Bibles back there again, back to Psalm 127. And we studied the first verse of this a few weeks ago, that if the Lord does not build the house, that the laborer builds in vain. But the psalm goes on to talk about the household, and in verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage or a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the one who fills his quiver with them, and he shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." And I can stand up here and we can talk all day about all of the different reasons why this is true. Why children are a blessing and why children are a gift or a reward from the Lord. But we would just run out of time. So I just want to talk about two of those this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. The first thing we want to look at and why children are a gift or a blessing from the Lord is that salvation came through childbearing. What do we mean by that? There's a very controversial text in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the Christendom world, and it's debated all the time. We're going to go ahead and read it this morning, And you'll understand why it's controversial, because it's difficult to make out what Paul is talking about here. And in verse 11, it says, "Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness and with self-control." Now here's what a lot of people have taken this to mean, and this is not what it means. A lot of people have looked at this and said, unless you have children as a woman, that you can't be saved. That is not what this passage is talking about. In fact, when you look at the scriptures, how many righteous and godly women were barren for almost all their life until God blessed them with children? You think of Hannah, right? And she's probably the prime example. So what is this talking about? Well, let's look at the context here. When you look at verse 13, Paul begins the narrative of creation. Adam was formed first and then Eve. That's Genesis chapter 1. And then it jumps to that Adam was not deceived first, but woman was deceived. Now we've jumped to Genesis chapter 3. And if we turn to Genesis chapter 3, we'll see that as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve, that God then is going to address Satan, he's going to address Eve, and he's going to address Adam as what is going to take place because of their sin. And when you go back to Genesis chapter 3, the Lord begins by looking at the serpent. And he says, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all beasts of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life." But notice verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the very first prophecy that is speaking of who? Jesus Christ. And this great mystery that God would come down and actually be born of a woman, a virgin, and would come into this world, and through childbearing, the Messiah would be born into this world to bring salvation to all those that would accept his name. That is what this is a reference to. And that's why we read in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Woman was saved through childbearing because through childbearing the Savior was brought into this world. That's why that popular song around the holidays, "Mary, Did You Know?" You know that song. If you don't know it, Dave will play it for you. He plays it all the time on his phone. He'll walk around and he'll play it. But "Mary, did you know that your baby boy," and it goes through, "would give sight to the blind man, would calm the storm with his hand. This child that you delivered will soon deliver you," is how the lyrics go. And so through childbearing, God had designed all the way from the beginning that that is how the Savior would be brought into this world. And it's through the wonderful gift of really giving children and this whole miracle behind the womb and what women can do. Jim Gaffigan's one of my favorite comedians, and he talks about that it's just amazing that a woman can grow a baby in her body and then deliver this baby through her body and then feed this baby through her body. And so, men, you got to step it up because your contribution to life is really limited compared to what women do. And women are incredible in how God has designed what they can do. And to think that that is how our Savior was brought into this world was through that same miracle of life. That is how women are saved through childbearing. That's how we're all saved, is because of this gift. But the second reason that I want to focus on primarily this morning is that through childbearing, we fulfill God's commandment from the beginning of time. What do you mean by that? Well, if you remember back in Genesis chapter 1, again in verse 28, we read that God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and every living thing that moves on earth." And absolutely, there is a very physical component to what this is talking about. They were to physically be fruitful and multiply and physically subdue the earth. But I would like to talk about some spiritual applications to this as well. When you look at Psalm 127, if you ever wondered this, why are children likened to arrows? Why are they called arrows? Like, why not stones or why not something else? Why does the psalmist say that like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth? Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Why is this kind of war and weapon, you know, imagery used to talk about a man and his children? That's a good question. You know, when Tommy Peeler was here, we went up to Silver Creek Falls and we just sat on a bench for about 3 hours and talked. And one of the things that I asked him, as I said, what have you found has made the greatest impact on the kingdom of God in your life? And what I was expecting is I'm thinking, you know, a method of study or a class or a ministry or an effort or some kind of thing like that. And I remember Tommy looked at me and he said, if you want to make the biggest impact on the kingdom of God, you raise godly children. That will impact the kingdom more than anything else that you can do in your entire life. And when you think about the illustration, the imagery used here from the psalmist, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, this offensive tool, how are we going to go into all the world and subdue it under the dominion of Jesus Christ and under His rule? Is it not by raising godly children who will then go out themselves and be lights in a dark world? People talk about, well, this world is so dark and so bad. Things have gotten worse, and so I worry about my children, and so I'm not sure if I want to have children. That's the wrong mentality. It's because this world is dark and in need of salvation that we need more godly children, that we need more children to raise up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and to send out like arrows to be lights in a dark world. You want to make an impact on this world? We do it through our family, through our name, through others who name the name of Jesus Christ. Bearing children is absolutely a method of evangelism. It 100% is. And we spiritually go into the earth and are to subdue it under the reign of Jesus Christ through that same process. And if you don't believe me, let me ask you this question. How does God make His biggest impact on this world? Who does He work through? He works through those whom He has adopted as children. In Romans 8:15, we read, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." John writes in the book of 1 John chapter 3, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." But how does the world come to know Jesus Christ? Is it not through you and me putting on Christ ourselves? God works through His children, and He has sent us out like arrows into this world to preach the gospel to all nations. God works the exact same way. And if that's God's method of work, why wouldn't it also be ours? And that's why John also writes in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Because if your children are walking in the truth, if they're walking in the light, what an impact they will make on the world that is around them. You know, I love hearing the backstory to some of the families that make up a lot of our members here and at Market Street and other areas. When you hear the backstory to the Simmons and the Gibsons and the Earnhardts and that whole clan that's all related, you got to be careful who you talk about because everybody's related, right? But when you go back and you hear that backstory, how it all started with one person just getting picked up and taken to church, just a ride. And then how that family grew. It's because parents taught their children and they had many. And then their children married and converted people into the Lord. And then they had children. And pretty soon you go from two people to now you have 150, 200 members of the Lord's body. And do you think that 200 people have more of an impact on the kingdom of God than two people? You better believe it. This is part of God's plan. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And I just pray for God's wisdom because I know that I am going to mess up as a parent. I have no idea what I'm doing. And so don't ever think I'm going to get up here and talk about what I know or my experiences. I don't know a thing. But I know that God's word is true. And I know that He's leading me and He's teaching me that He calls me to be a father, to raise up my son or my daughter in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that if I do so, you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And my prayer is that I can be the kind of parent that God wants me to be, the kind of father that I can raise my children to love God, to serve Him, to know Him, that they would not only serve Him themselves, but teach their children and teach others also. And when we do that, that's when we're going to make the greatest impact on the kingdom. I hope that this was encouraging for you this morning. If you're young and you can still have children, I encourage you, apply this lesson. Have kids. Have children. Plan that. Have many children. If you can't have children, don't misunderstand me. You are not dishonoring God or not special or not a part of His plan if you're unable to bear children. Sometimes that takes place. God adopted you. Maybe that's something to look into. Is this willingness to give yourself to a child and take them in as your own family? Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three. There's programs, there's things to do that. I just want to encourage us. Let's get busy. Let's have kids. Seriously. Let's make children, let's adopt children. You can laugh, that's okay. But then let's raise them up to be Christians. And let's make an impact on this world, and let's make an impact on this community. If you have any need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you might not know everything there is to know about the New Testament or the Old Testament or God or your understanding. But if you understand this, that God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins, that we deserve death, but He took our place and He redeemed us by His blood. And if you want to name Him as your Lord and become a disciple, a learner of Him, a follower of Him, you can do that this morning. If you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him. Repent of your sins. Be buried with Him in baptism. And He promises when you rise up out of that water, you will arise as a new creation, forgiven all your sins and given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Won't you answer that call? Jesus is calling you now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.